Okay, people, it's hotel motel time now. Let's go.
I'm trapped.
Well, show's over, gear's loaded, merch money's been collected. It's time to gather the troops, do a head count, and get on the bus, Gus. 12 hours of road to the next gig, a few adult beverages, some slamming tunes, and endless road stories. Musicians love telling stories. Stories of sessions gone rogue, stories overheard in bars, stories of sketchy characters trying to close a shady deal. Outrageous stories, where someone narrowly escapes arrest, bankruptcy, divorce, or horrible pitch. Some of these stories are even true. You know the cut line for Vegas, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Well, long before that line was co-opted as the civic motto of Sin City, it used to be, what happens on the road stays on the road. My name's Matt Zimbel. Welcome to Road Stories, where what happens on the road goes on the radio. Tonight, the backstory is unruly.
Thank you.
Turtle Island String Quartet with an original called Sky Life. The first time I saw them was at the Aspen Jazz Festival. Manteca played one night with the Yellow Jackets, and they were on the next. I loved their show. They told stories about being string nerds in high school and studying classical music. And one day noting that, hey, all the rock dudes who can only play three chords on an electric guitar seem to be more popular with the ladies. So they decided to mess with the string quartet format. And I think it worked well because they had groupies backstage. I saw them. Now, a gig in Aspen is amazing for a lot of reasons, but the first is that you're in the mountains and it's 8,000 feet above sea level. The oxygen is thin and it takes a while to get used to it, but I gotta say, we were freaked when we got to the venue. On all four corners of the stage, there were oxygen bottles with masks, face masks. That'll freak you out before you start jumping around at a highly energetic show. Randy Disterheft on bass and vocals with the 1966 Gene McDaniels American protest song Compared to What? That was first recorded by Eddie Harris in 66, but it went on to become a hit when Eddie and Les McCann put out an incredible live version of it from the Montreux Jazz Festival in 1969. The festival organizers recorded the show, and I guess they probably recorded it as like an archival thing or something. They didn't think much of it. But after they heard the tapes, they said, wow, this sounds amazing. And they sold it to Atlantic Records for $100 American. The record went on to sell over 1 million copies. Now, I like Brandy's version. It takes a certain amount of pluck to record such an iconic protest tune, you know, a tune that's been recorded by more than 270 artists, including Ray Charles, Roberta Flack. But it takes even more pluck to record it with only voice, bass, drums, and a lonely little tambourine. I guess if this was a political talk show, we'd say that Disterheft was playing to her bass. Now, Oscar Peterson said about Brandy that she's what we call serious. She's from Vancouver, and she now calls New York City home. and she studied in New York with Miles bassist Ray Brown. I did a gig with her after she'd been studying with Ray for about a year, and I asked her what she was working on, and I'll never forget her response. She said, "Well, we spent the first year working on tone, just tone." Musicians love to tease each other with jokes about their instruments, and of course, the bass gets its fair share of chiding, and in fact, you could say that jokes about the bass are almost a highly developed subgenre. They usually drop with a theme of something along the lines of, "There's only four strings, how hard could it be?" Well, here's a joke that no doubt's been trotted out in the back lounge of many a tour bus. A boy comes home from his first bass lesson. His dad asks him how it went.
"Today we learned the E string."
The boy comes home from his second bass lesson, and dad asks him again how it went.
"Today we learned the A string."
The boy comes back from his third lesson. Dad says, "So, did you learn the D string today?"
"Nope, I had a gig."
This is Elizabeth Shepherd with the first single from her new concept project, which includes a film and a book. The album's called Montreal. This is Teotihuacan, which is what the Mohawk people called the island in the St. Lawrence that later became known as Montreal. This track features a blistering trumpet solo from Jacques Cuba Saguin.
Thank you. invisible dreams color your heart. Invisible words pardon your thoughts. Untamable urgency.
Invisible from Sienna Dallin from her lovely Ice Age Paradise recording. And we started that set with one of my bandmates in Manteca, Mark Ferguson, who plays trombone and keyboards with us. One of our favorite activities to do with Mark on the road is he oftentimes forgets his plunger mute, which is basically, it's a toilet plunger. That's all it is. It just doesn't have the handle. And so when he forgets that, we have to go with him to the, well, we don't have to, but we want to go with him to the hardware store so he can buy another one. And we always do this waiting for him to say to the guy behind the counter, oh, don't worry, I don't need the handle. And then you try and read the guy's face. It's a really good, fun touring activity. That was from Mark's most recent solo recording called The Next Chapter. The tune's called F Sharp, and he plays vibes and acoustic piano on there. And when you hear those two instruments together, You fast learn where the idea for the Fender Rhodes keyboard came from. You're listening to Rhodes Stories on Jazz FM. My name's Matt Zimbel. In my band Manteca, we don't audition. If we have to replace somebody, which happens rarely, we all just gather in the dressing room after the show on the night of a full harvest moon, light some candles, sacrifice a chicken, and decide who we want to play with, and then call them up and offer them the gig. As leader, it's one of my favorite calls to make. In 1991, our sax player Gary Boygon moved to New York City and we needed to replace him, so we asked the Horns who they wanted, since as a horn section, they're kind of like an autonomous, self-governing city-state, and there was only one name on their list. I was given my instructions. Get Phil Dwyer. He was 26 at the time, and he was mighty happy to take my call. Playing with Phil was one of the great joys of being in the band. He's a wonderful musician and one of the funniest, smartest people I know. We were on the tour bus en route to a gig somewhere in California once when I was eating the most delicious locally produced grapes I had ever had, freaking out about how good they were, and I offered Phil a grape. He declined. I said, "Phil, you know you love wine. Grapes are what they make wine from." He looked at me and said, "I'll wait." This is from Phil Dwyer's first solo album called Road Stories, which was released in 1997. Features Dave Pilch on bass, drummer Paul Brochu, guitarist Ted Quinlan, Dave Restivo, Dr. Music Doug Riley, who wrote this tune called For Phil.
Thank you.
Did you guys hear that piano solo? Every time I hear that piano solo, I don't know what to say. I mean, that's Doug Riley. He just killed it. I produced that session for Phil in 1997, and I'll never forget after he blew that solo off, I was just like, whoa, that's done. I have that on tape. And it was such an honor for me to work with Doug Riley because I had admired him for years. It's the only thing I'd ever done with him. I mean, I played on some sessions with him, but I'd never produced him before. And so that was really a thrill for me. One of the other thrills on this project was hearing Phil Dwyer and Ted Quinlan play together because the two of them have a way of phrasing and a way of the intricacies of playing a melody together, the little drop-offs and the hesitations and the breaths, and it's stunning. And I was so impressed with this. I said from the control room one day, I was like, guys, that's amazing. Your phrasing is so incredible together. And I hear this little voice off on the side of the studio, and it's Phil, and he says, we've been playing together since we were six. It's true. They had been playing together since they were six because they grew up on Vancouver Island together. Okay, then. That makes perfect sense. Now, for all you audiophile geeks out there, we recorded this live to half-track stereo on half-inch analog tape at 30 IPS. It's a very thrilling way to record. It's a very honest way to record because there's no fix-ups. As it was played, so it remained. Shelley Mann drumming the theme from Peter Gunn. Now, Shelley did a lot of film work in L.A. in the 1970s, and I heard a great story that he was doing this orchestral film session. And I think there were like over 100 pieces on the floor. The producer cues the conductor, and they start to run the piece down. About 20 seconds in, the producer's voice comes over the talkback.
Drums, that feel is not working at all. That feel is not working.
Now, when you're on a session, the last thing in the world you want is that kind of public recognition from the control room. Who, me? No, please not me. Pick on somebody else.
Drums, that's not the groove we want here. I'm looking for kind of a Shelley Mann type of feel. Do you know who he is?
From the inner sanctum of the drum booth, a muffled voice quietly said,
I am Shelley Mann.
Thank you. Bella Fleck, Edgar Meyer with Invention Number 10, BWV 796, written by Johann Sebastian Bach. It was written as a kind of a study for his students. Now, you don't hear a lot of Bach on banjo, so I was curious, how did this come to pass? Turns out, it was a really hot day in Leipzig in 1723, and Bach had been in the house all day teaching. When one of his favorite students arrived, he suggested that they do the lesson outside at the local park. So they started to move the harpsichord. But after struggling for a while, trying to move it, his student said to him,
"Seb, damn, this harpsichord sure is heavy. I brought my banjo. If that don't sound like a harpsichord, I don't know what does."
Bach thought about that for a minute and said,
"Fugit, sounds good to me. Let's roll."
Now, some of these accents may have evolved slightly over time, but the story is historically correct. My name's Matt Zimbel. You're listening to Road Stories on Jazz FM. This is Melody Gardot.
Good night was just a little word you learned somewhere, somebody that you burned was all too happy with a lie. But love, you know you never got it right. I don't know why you say goodnight. You only mean to say goodbye. And I know you're quick to show your love to the dog, and you ain't never been in love before. You're only bound to get it wrong. Just a victim of your circumstance, I never knowing any real romance. And so we ought to say so long, goodbye, so long, goodbye.
Melody Gardot saying goodbye, and it's time for us to do the same. Now, many of the stories I've recounted here came from my almost 40 years of touring with Manteca, so we've heard a lot about the Mantecians, as we call ourselves, but we've not played any music from Manteca because, you know, it's just not done. It's like waking up in the morning and staring at your 8x10 glossy publicity photos while having coffee. Shame on you. So, in the back lounge of the bus, we wouldn't play our own records, but full disclosure, we do play the show tapes, or as we call them, the black boxes, which I'm sure you have already gathered is a rather morose reference to the flight recorder of a downed airplane. Tonight, we're going to close with a piece from Manteca's most recent CD, released in the fall of 2016, called The Twelfth of Never. Now, people ask me, what kind of music do you guys play? And I always joke, stadium jazz. It's loud and large with lighting cues and jazz pyro, which is probably the first time you've ever heard the words pyro and jazz in the same sentence. The takeaway is, we're not really power ballad people. This is a piece written by Doug Wild and myself called Lowdown, featuring Colleen Allen on sax and baritone clarinet, Jason Logue on trumpet, Nick Tateshi on guitar, Will Jarvis on bass, Doug Wild on keys, Mark Ferguson on trombone, and my drummer brothers Charlie Cooley on drums and Art Avalos on percussion. Recorded here in Toronto at Revolution Studios and mixed at Desert Fish by Jeff Walpert. This tune has a huge guitar sound. It's large because we used overdriven guitar and then doubled it with bass clarinet. I was in London recently and all the Brits were asking, how did you get such a freaking huge guitar sound? It's absolutely bombastic. I'm like, simple. We doubled it with bass clarinet, dude. Duh. Big thanks to our engineer, Chris Leon. My name's Matt Zimbel. You can holler at me at matt@jazz.fm. I hope to see you next Saturday at 7. Stay well. Buy music. Bye. Oh, could we keep that bass clarinet thing between us? I wouldn't want that getting out.